Welcome to All Pimentos Podcast. I have Mike from the band.
Pulley.
Yeah, man, Pulley. Pulley's fucking wicked. Everyone needs more Pulley in their life. How is California down there?
Actually, been rainy the past few days. Cold and rainy.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of rain this winter, so. That's really good for us. This place is a desert, so.
Yeah, it's drier than anything else down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. So, here we go. How did Pulley start?
Well, Pulley started, Scott and I go way back, 1984, 85. So we have a history of writing music together. We had a band called Scared Straight way back in the day, in the 80s. Scott had started that band, and I was like writing music with them, and then I eventually joined the band playing bass. And then fast forward from that, Scared Straight turned into 10 Foot Pole.
Right.
And I left the band at that time and basically turned the bass over to our friend Pete Newberry. And the band, it stayed Scared Straight for a little bit, but then they changed the name to 10 Foot Pole. And I went off and did some other stuff. And they continued on at 10 Foot Pole. And then fast forward from that, they ended up kicking Scott out of the band because of his baseball career, and those guys wanted to tour full time. So it was kind of weird because Scott started the band originally, and so, you know, once 10 Foot Pole signed with Epitaph, and, you know, back then things were kind of blowing up, and with a lot of bands, especially if you were on Epitaph, and so they ended up kicking him out of the band, and that day or day after, Scott called me and said, "Hey, you know, can we just start a band where, you know, we just kind of go back to the old days and just have fun and not give a shit about the business and, you know, not depend on it to pay our bills and this, that, and the other, you know, because by that time, him and I had kind of gone through the mill, you know, musically, like, you know, I said, hell yeah, let's do it. And so, originally it was Scott and I, Jim Cherry, Jordan, you know, Jim and Jordan from Strung Out at the time, and then we called up Matt Riddle, who had just quit Face to Face at the time, and he joined up. So it was the five of us. And that was the formation of Pulley.
Yeah, I didn't know all that went down. Like, I knew some of the story, but I didn't know all of it. And you guys were signed up tough for a bit too, weren't you?
Yeah. Once we formed Pulley, we put together, like, a... like a little 6-song demo, you know, and we sent it over to Brett, and Brett was like instantly, you guys are, I want to sign you guys.
Yeah.
He liked it, he signed it, and then we eventually made our first record here in LA with Ryan Green. At a place called Fat Planet Studios, yeah, that was the first record, Steam Driven Engine.
Yeah, that was released in '96 too, right?
What's that?
That was released in '96.
Yeah.
See, when I got into you guys, I'm at the ripe age of 43 right now. When I got into you guys, I believe, the one with the at and the number sign and all the exclamation marks.
Say that again.
The one, the Pulley album with the animated dude on the front of it. That's
the third record.
Yeah,
self-titled record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's when I got into you guys, and then I went back and just totally fell in love with the band. Like, even the genre of music at that time, like skate punk, like it was everything that I was looking for. And then when you guys released one of my favorite records, is Matters. I like that record a lot too. But I like everything you guys have done though too. So with the new record,
thank you.
Yeah, I know, dude, you guys are fucking wicked. And with the new record, are you guys are touring that quite a bit? No.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Scott, you know, retired from baseball. You know, after he was playing, he started coaching. So he kind of continued his career, but then he, retired a few years back, and so we've had, you know, more opportunities to get out and play, and the band's been touring, and we have something coming up in Europe in May, and so yeah, we've been busy, and we ever since we put out that new record, yeah, been busy.
Yeah, so when you guys put the new record, it was on the label Sabin. Is that how am I pronouncing it right?
S-Bam.
That's it.
S-Bam.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
S-Bam. Yeah. And they're doing a lot of punk rock records too, like they did the new Jugheads too.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, and you guys, you guys are touring with Pennywise too, right?
Yeah, we've always done a lot of stuff with Pennywise over the years. They're going to be, we're supposed to get some stuff, some dates with them in May. Actually, end of May into June. We've always been really good friends with those guys and played a lot with them over the years. And yeah, some upcoming stuff with them. So
yeah, I know it's fun. Yeah, it's gonna be. Are you guys doing any festivals this year? Or no.
Yeah. There's supposed to be some festivals on that same tour, and I think we might be doing the Riot Fest in Chicago.
That's always a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've actually never done that one before, so I hope it goes through. You know, definitely love to do it. And then we're going to Japan in November, but I think we're coming up to Canada as well.
Oh, where are you guys playing Canada?
I don't know yet. Nothing in stone as of right now.
Yeah.
I would imagine it will probably be around, I don't know, July, August-ish, somewhere in there.
Okay.
So, something will probably get booked up here pretty soon. But yeah, we'll be coming up there. Probably doing something with Steve from Belvedere.
Oh, I love Belvedere.
Yeah. He usually puts something together, so I think it's going to be through him. And
Cool.
Looking forward to the summer. I'm sure some other, like, you know, regional stuff will pop up, you know, throughout the summer.
Right. So what's up? What got you playing music?
What got me playing music?
Yeah, man.
Well, I was drawn to music at a very, very early age. Really young. I grew up on the Beatles and, the usual suspects, Led Zeppelin and, you know, all that old classic rock stuff. And then kind of early on, I used to flip through all my parents' records and family members, like cousins and stuff. My cousin Noelle, she had like a really cool record collection, and like probably around late 70s, I remember going through her record collection, and she actually had some punk rock stuff in there.
Okay.
And she had some, like, Clash and some Ramones and Pretenders, and I was like, wow, I was, like, super fascinated, but that was just different. That was, like, different to me, and so that's kind of, like, I was really fascinated with punk rock at a, like, pretty early age, although I was still into hard rock. And then, like, fast forward to, like, the 80s, I was really into, like, hard stuff. I was getting into punk rock. I started getting into, like, Slayer and shit like that, like, when they first started. But at the same time, I was getting exposed to, like, you know, the early 80s stuff, like Black Flag and Circle Jerks. And, like, you know, the L.A. hardcore scene. And I fell in love with that just because I identified more with it, you know, from a lyrical standpoint. And it was just obtainable, you know. It was just here in our backyard, and you can go to shows. And, you know, ticket prices were cheap. And, you know, so that's really how I really fell in love with the punk rock scene. And then fast forward probably 1982, 83, I was like, parents bought me a guitar, and that was what I started playing. I started playing punk rock right out of the gate. You know, I started writing songs, and that's really how I, you know, that was it, man, from that point forward, you know. And I started some bands with some friends, and then I met Scott, like, around 84, 85, I'd say, and, you know, we went to school together, and that's when him and I kind of really started, you know, that's when I really started delving into, you know, writing with Scared Straight. And then they lost their bass player, and, you know, I started playing bass for that band. And at the same time, I had another band with Jim Blowers, who also played guitar for Pulley, and also Trey Kleinsmith, who now plays the other guitar for Pulley. We all had bands back in the 80s. Trey and I had a band called Fatal Error. Jim and I had a band called OYM. I was, like, doing... At one time, I was in, like, three different bands.
Holy shit, dude.
Then. Yeah.
I was fucking busy.
So we have a lot of history together, you know. Scott and I, Trey, Jim Blowers. You know, we all played shows together and played in bands together and went to shows together, and, you know. So we all
Well, you guys are doing a great job at it, and I'm happy, so happy that you guys are touring and doing new music as well. Because
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
it's
we love what we do. Our heart and soul is in it.
and that's the thing too, is like even like in the past like couple of years and stuff like that, there's been a lot of bands from back in the day, like Diesel Boy and like I said, like Jughead's Revenge and you guys still waving that flag of, and you guys have never changed, but it just keeps getting better and better. And it's not like Pulley is just recycling the same sound, if you will. You know what I mean? Like
No, yeah.
it's not it's never the same in my own mind, but
Yeah, we've always, I think, we just kind of organically evolved as a band. We don't try to do anything. We just, we write what we want to hear, and, it's an evolution, whether it's good or bad and up in people's eyes, it doesn't really matter. If other people like it, that's just icing on the cake for us. We just, we're doing what we love to do,
And it's a lot of different time too from when I started listening to you guys, like with Spotify and like Apple Music and like streaming service platforms. I think, in my own opinion, I sort of think that it's sort of hurting the industry a bit, but it's also helping it at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? It's great, the accessibility, for people to get your music. There's a positive to that. If you've made it your living, that actually hurt people, because, we just don't get the royalties that we used to, back in the 90s, so it's just, you have to really be on the road a lot more if you're depending on it to pay your bills. I mean, you really got to play a lot of shows, depending on who you are, you know what I mean? But you got to be on the road a lot more than we used to back in the day. And, fortunately for us, we made that pact early on that, we're not going to quit our day jobs. We're going to keep this, fun, and that's worked out for us, that's worked out well for us.
Like, well, I'm also assuming like you guys all have families and stuff like that, so you guys sort of just treat it like a weekend warrior sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you could see that's definitely more serious than that, it definitely, I don't think if you asked us, back in 95 that we'd still be here today in 2024 making records and touring. I think we went into it initially like, oh, cool, let's put a band together, let's make a record and go on tour. At that time it was, it was kind of promoted as, this, like all-star band, if you will, or something, guys, Matt from Face to Face and Jordan and Jim from Strung Out, all these guys from these different bands get together and form this group. It was kind of looked at, I think back then,
Well, that's the thing too, man, is like even now, like you guys are still putting out like records, and like the last one you guys did, The Golden Life, which is fucking rad too. Like I don't, in my own opinion, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass, I don't think you guys have made a bad record, to be honest with you, because I always find with Pulley, yeah, like I always find with Pulley, and like I will compare you guys to like Propaganda too, the way you guys write, like you guys just don't like put it out, put it out, put it out, put it out, right? Like it's, you guys take time with it, and it's something to look forward to, like, you know, in like next couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. That's just kind of the rate that we move at. You know, we don't we try not to rush into anything. We try not to, you know, we try to be conscious of that. And you know, if we're gonna put something out, you know, we want to make sure that we're 100%, you know, into it. We put, you know, everything we got into it, you know. And so, you know, I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yeah, man. Oh, and that's the thing too, is like when you guys put out The Golden Life in 2022, and I don't mean to keep talking about that album, but it was during the pandemic when it came out, and like that album, like a lot of skate punk albums were coming out as well, but you know that one and Sixth Sense by Belvedere, I listen to it probably two or three times a day just to keep my brain going. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
Thank
man.
you very much. That
That's...
means a lot. That record was that was a big one for us. It was at the time, and you know, we were going through the pandemic, and I got laid off my job at the time. I got furloughed, and so I, you know, around the spring of 2020, I was just, you know, I didn't have a job, and I was waking up every day just writing. I mean, I was just writing just nonstop every day, writing songs and sending them off to Scott, and you know, just writing and recording and sending the music off to Scott, and that's. And, you know, so we were just passing music back and forth, just writing our asses off. And really, it was really nice to just have all that time. You know, that's one positive thing I could take away from, you know, the whole COVID thing, is that I just had all that time to write. And, you know, same with the other guys, you know. And so we were just going crazy. We had so many songs and so many ideas, and it was just flowing, and there was just, I don't know, it was a as horrible of a time as that was for a lot of people. I mean, speaking for myself, it was a fantastic time, you know. It was just a great time for me, just being able to focus on just the music, 100%, you know, it's all I had to think about, you know. And so that's really, you know, the Golden Life. I mean, that's that record. I mean, that it kind of, that's where it came from, that's where it sprang from.
Yeah, I
And
know.
we're
Yeah, I
very
know.
proud of it. We're very proud of it.
No, it's a great album, dude. And like I said, a lot of like almost everything you guys put out, it's great too. But like that, when I heard when that came out in 2022, I was like, fuck, finally something to fucking. And same with like Belvedere's Sixth Sense, like that album fucking rips too. But it's like The Golden Life, I was playing on my fucking phone like. Oh, fuck, I can't even know how many times I played it. And I still listen to it. This like when I'm cooking, I still listen to it because it's so
I love
fat.
it. I love
Yeah, man, it's
it. That's
fucking
great,
yeah,
man.
yeah, man. It's totally cool. So you got some tours coming up and whatnot. So you're saying you're a big MMA fan, eh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's, yeah, I've been, like I said, you know, I grew up, and my dad and I are fanatics, you know. You know, like I said, I grew up watching boxing, and I wrestled in high school.
Oh, no way.
I wrestled freestyle, and I wrestled in school, and then I remember watching the very first UFC event, you know, UFC number one.
Oh, and, fuck, that's going back.
I've been a fan of that ever since, and you know, it's fun. You know, I go over to my dad's on the weekends, and we watch the fights together, and
nice.
And it's cool. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
What do you think of their product now?
What do I think about it? What do you mean?
The UFC product right now.
The product?
Yeah.
What do I think about it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's done great things for the sport.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
It's nice to see that, you know, where Dana White, you know, what he did with the product from the early days to now is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing else like it that's happened in sport. When you think about it. I mean, it's, you know, and what it's done for the fighters, you know. I mean, the fact that they're making a good living doing what they love to do, I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, mixed martial arts would get to that level?
I don't think anyone would, man.
It's impressive. You know, yeah. It's mind-blowing when you think about the growth of it over really, in the big scheme of things, a short amount of time. You know.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, like even right, like I watch a bit of UFC, I watch a lot of like pro wrestling, and I found the merger between the two, TKO, UFC and WWE, it's just gonna get fucking bigger, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It just keeps growing, and I love the fact that it's moving into different countries. You know, like they did that whole thing in Mexico City.
That was a good fight, too. That was a good card.
That was a good night. That was a fun night.
Yeah.
Good fight. Brandon Morales. I love what he did in Mexico City. They opened up that facility down there. And I love the fact that he wants to, you know, do some stuff in Spain. I just love the fact that they're just, you know, moving into these different territories and different countries and really providing opportunity for the younger generation and, you know, like really giving back to communities.
Yeah, 110%.
You know, and that's a big deal. I can't really say I've seen that happen in other sports.
No, I don't think so either, man. Like, I think the NFL does quite a bit. I know every individual player in the NFL sort of has their own thing, but I don't think one company like UFC has done that in sports ever, to be honest with you.
Yeah, as like a whole entity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just like one. And I'm not taking away from any of the other sports. I mean, every sport, these guys really give back to their communities for sure, 100%. But to just see one sport grow that fast over, like I said, in the big scheme of things, that short amount of time, and then just giving back now, like, everything, you know, that they've earned. And it just... I've never seen anything like it.
You know? No, neither have I. And I think I think Dana White, the way he does it, it's a lot, right? Like you haven't seen it in any other sport, and I think what he's doing is amazing. Especially the way even like the pay per views and like the sport itself is getting fucking massive. Like there's so many like companies. There's UFC, Bellator. Bellator is actually pretty good. I don't mind watching Bellator once in a while.
Yeah, Bellator's great. I watch Bellator and
Yeah.
PFL.
PFL is good too, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever watched, do you remember WEC?
I've seen it on YouTube. I've never watched like a whole event.
Yeah, that's kind of where, well, Dana White ended up buying the WEC, and a lot of the fighters that you see today came from there.
Oh, no way.
And yeah, all those guys went to the UFC, and they're freaking awesome fighters. And but guys like Uriah Faber, he came from the WEC. Some pretty big names, went over. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's fun to watch. It's been fun to watch the whole growth of it.
Yeah. So what have you been listening to lately? Like, do you normally listen to anything differently or?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to all kinds of music. To be honest, I've been going back. Well, as far as within the genre, I really like the Interrupters. What I've been hearing from them. I've been going way back in time listening to some old Spanish guitar stuff, Al Viñola, John McLaughlin, Paco de Lucia.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and I love that stuff. But I kind of go all over the map, I
Yeah.
listen to so many different kinds of music. But so it's not really anything specific at the moment, but like I said, I've been listening to a lot of that old, acoustic flamenco guitar stuff.
So, like, you mentioned Zeppelin. I'm going to ask you what your favorite Zeppelin album is, or if you have one.
I would say probably, I mean, that's a really good one. That's a tough question
Yeah,
because
man.
they have so many good ones. But Physical Graffiti is just a classic.
Yeah.
I remember, that was in my parents' record collection, and they had the record player set up in the living room. That record was just there. So that's the one I always gravitate towards, so I would always put that record on as a kid, and I'd just be blown away listening to, Jimmy Page. I was a really big fan of Jimmy Page's, his acoustic playing. Whenever you'd hear acoustic stuff that he would do on Zeppelin, just always blew my mind. I play a lot of acoustic guitar. I actually do a lot of writing on acoustic guitar for Pulley, which is kind of what I grab when I, write. But I also do a lot of acoustic stuff on the side, just on my own, just songs that I write. But yeah, that early Zeppelin stuff, like Physical Graffiti, that's like I said, that was in Mom and Pop's record collection, so that was my record,
Yeah, I would say I would go. I said it before too. That's actually one of my favorites too, and I'm not just saying it. Physical Graffiti, and I'll say Zeppelin too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Here's another question:
Absolutely.
Stones or the Beatles?
For the Beatles, I mean, obviously, I can't even like Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
I love Rubber Soul. And the White Album to me is like genius. That was to me, you listen to that, it's like, oh, they're just completely changing the whole fucking thing again.
Yeah.
They're doing it again. And
Yeah.
when you think about it, that the amount of influence that they had from when they first started, and then they cross over into that, the other stuff, like Sgt. Pepper's and the White Album, you're going, oh my God, they're changing the whole landscape again. is all the bands that started doing the same thing after they did that. Like two separate times, they influenced all kinds, everything in music. So it's just like astounding when you think about it. But
yeah, I know it's. I would. Yeah,
I mean, Abbey Road. I mean, I could just go on and on. You know, there's. Is there a bad Beatles record? I don't
think there is, man. And that's the thing too. No, there's not. I would definitely take the Beatles over the Stones any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I always have to. Although I'm a big Stones fan, I love the Stones, and I think it's incredible that they're still together, and they're actually, the new record is actually pretty fucking good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. But yeah, the Beatles for me are number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number one band for me. And I just still listen to those old records, and I still can't wrap my head around what they were doing.
Oh, it's fucking mental. I can't
wrap my head around. It's fucking unbelievable.
It was fucking insane.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You wrote that?
Yeah.
Back then?
Yeah.
You were thinking that way back then?
Yeah.
I mean, light years ahead of their time. Light years.
110%.
And they're everybody's time.
And they're still ahead of their time right now.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. It's timeless.
It's like, I mean, if you sit there in, like, Abbey Road and then, I think Revolver, like...
Oh, yeah. Revolver's another fucking great one.
Fucking banger, dude. Come on.
It's mind-blowing. You pick up any of those records right now and listen to it and listen to what's going on today.
Yep.
It's still the best shit.
Yeah, it's still relevant, dude. Like, it's... The Beatles, in my own opinion, will be number one of all time. Like,
it's never gonna be anything. I mean,
no,
it's just nothing remotely close.
No,
and it's unbelievable. It's a once in a lifetime thing, you know. And it just blows my mind just talking about it.
I know. I would love to do another podcast. I would love to do another podcast with you about the Beatles, actually.
Yeah, we can go through records.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I got a nice little collection.
Yeah, I could go on forever about the Beatles. Like, they've never put out a bad fucking album. The Rolling Stones, yes, they have.
Yeah.
110%. But that being said, I don't want to take any more of your Monday, Mike. So we've been talking
Yeah, pleasure talking to you, man.
Yeah, we've been talking
Hopefully we get to do it again soon.
Oh, fuck. We could
talk about your chef work.
Oh, yeah, it's good, man. It's all right, you know. It is what it is. I've been doing it for like 27 years now, 28 years.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah, it's a long time being in the industry for sure. It's like you can sort of compare it to punk rock or like being in a band, right? It's like... two industries that sort of coincide with each other because, like, both industries are filled with misfits, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then it's two industries where, you know, you can still have hand tattoos and people still take you seriously, right? So,
yeah, for sure.
But I would love to talk to you about, we should do a Beatles one, man, and we'll go album by album. I don't know if you drink alcohol or not, but, we can have a couple of beers doing that one. That'll be a good one.
I actually don't drink.
Okay.
But the other guys do.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we can get one of the whatever, man. We'll sit here and have coffee and talk about the Beatles. I got no problem doing that either.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. All right, well, thanks for doing this. We've been talking for 38 minutes and 47 seconds. So all the socials are Pulley Matters, right?
Yeah. And we got to get on top of that. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. But,
yeah. No, it's all good, man. You guys should do all your live, do some live footage and throw it on TikTok, man.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good idea. TikTok. I don't know if we've ever thrown anything live on TikTok. It usually just gets put up on YouTube. But yeah, for sure, TikTok's a good one.
Yeah. And you guys are on Instagram and Facebook?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page.
All that stuff. All right, cool, Mike. Thanks for doing this, and stay online, huh?
All right, Sean. Have a good day, man.
You too, man.